B-Pod Studios.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. How far away are we from the What's Up, Guys bit?
I don't know. It depends. I'm about halfway through.
I desperately want this bit with What's Up, Guys.
Within the last for a week now, correct? This has been at least a week. You've been looking forward to this.
Yes.
It takes a while.
Oh, no, there's no question. I got to imagine it takes some time. All right. There was a story of a older gentleman. Now, people question if it was me. I live in Newton, and I drive a Jaguar. And people were saying, was this you, Fred? And it was not. It was an elderly gentleman.
We have a story right here.
In Newton, a driver smashed through three brick walls and hit a house. Boston 25 News reporter Lisa Pappas. Neighbors tell you everyone's very lucky that this wild ride did not end with anyone seriously hurt.
This is where that car went right through this fence, and he kept going across three properties.
But I'm shocked. I'm completely shocked. Stuff like this just doesn't happen on this little quiet street.
Police say a 72-year-old man lost control of his car and drove through 3 yards before hitting this house in Newton.
But this is just a really crazy scene.
The wild ride cut across yards on two levels, leaving broken mirrors and car pieces scattered from Troy Lane down to Evelyn Road. Luckily, just the basement window of this house was damaged. This is where it all started. The car came down this dead-end street, jumped this curb, and went right through this fence, then clipped the corner of this deck and went down this embankment. And the driver didn't stop there. He came around the corner of this house, jumped this retaining wall where you can see some damage, then jumped a second wall here and continued down into the third backyard before he came to a stop at this house. Police say the driver suffered minor injuries and was awake and talking when he was sent to the hospital, but it's still unclear what caused him to take this dangerous drive.
I mean, that's a Dukes of Hazzard episode right there. I mean, just all
it was
in one.
Mr. Magoo episode. Now, 72 is not even that old. Like,
no.
You should be able to drive at 72. Now, my dad is 76 and broke the seat of my car trying to get out of it because he had an old man rocking back and forth. That he literally cracked the bottom of the seat.
Right.
But yeah, that is some Mr. Magoo stuff.
Yeah, I'm hoping it was just old manitis and it wasn't anything, you know, worse that would cause him to do that. But everything we've heard is just that now he's just an old dude.
I mean, old manitis. I mean, what are you referring to, like Alzheimer's or something? I mean,
no, just like, when can I put my foot on this brake? Where is that darn brake? Somewhere around here. And meanwhile, you know, his cat's jumping out of the way, and
no, well, I just like that he thought he could veer his way out of it. That he was under the impression that, oh, I went through a fence. If I can just get through these backyards,
I mean, if you're completely lucid, how do you not like how many backyards does it take to realize you need to step on the brakes?
I think going back to the Dukes of Hazzard, he's probably a big Steve McQueen guy. And thought that there was a way to get out of the backyard.
It was like Bullet.
Yeah.
The Bullet car. Sure.
Yeah, he was thinking that there was a way to get out of backyards. But
maybe
there,
he was racing Edith for papers, you know, with the stoplight. Come on, baby, I'll take you on. I'll get that old Crown Victoria off your hands.
The Buick Skylark that he's been driving since there was always a... When I was a kid, if you had a Buick Skylark, you were
just a good old boy
playing with fire. All right, so there becomes an age though where reason goes out the window, and even sometimes I can't get into it. But yesterday there is a guy who's been doing something for a very long time that he probably shouldn't be doing anymore.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of swearing, inappropriateness,
uh-huh.
but nonetheless, I really can't get into it. I shouldn't have even brought it up.
Okay, well, I was reminded of something. There is a point in your life where we've seen it with maybe some of our grandparents or great-grandparents where just something sets off in your head and immediately you start to give zero Fs. Where you just don't care anymore what other people think. You don't care what other people think about what the things that you say. And I completely forgot about the story. So I was at a fall festival a couple of years ago. And there was these like a big line of porta potties, like three or four porta potties, and all of them were filled. And this one old dude I saw walk up to it and like pull out all four of them, and none of them would open. And then he just pulled down his pants and peed on one of the doors.
Yeah, because it's the same thing.
Because he's like, I gotta go. I don't care. Mm-hmm. The doors won't open, and I'm old, and I have no shame.
I just like that. The thing, it's like a cat. Like, he smelled urine and decided that that was like the place to go. Well, if I can't get in, I mean, I gotta mark my territory. See, if you saw an old guy like peeing in the street, that'd be one thing. But the idea that he went into a porta potty, oh, it's locked, but it's the same thing. I might as well pee. And then had to take like 5 hours because that's not coming out anytime soon.
I remember one time when I was a kid, I was waiting to get seated at this Chinese restaurant. And you ever been at like a Chinese restaurant before where they put like the bowl of, what are those kind of like cracker type things? They're like fried noodles.
Yeah, yeah.
That they put like in the middle of the table, like before you even sit down. So you sit down, there's this awesome thing you can just snack on.
You're doing the duck sauce, yes.
Yeah. So there was this dude who was waiting in the same like waiting area of the lobby we were. And meanwhile, there's a table right next to where we all were, and they just put one of those things in there. And that dude just starts walking out and just takes a handful and just starts crushing it right there in front of us.
Yeah, for everybody. Just you didn't pay for them.
It's all mine.
That's for everybody. It becomes an age where you, like we've talked about before, I won't go into it too much, but you just go into CVS and the line means nothing to you. You just go into CVS and you're sitting there in line, and they just walk up into the front, and they're like, I just have a question. Have you ever walked into a drugstore and you go, like, I know this is going to take, I've gone and just left.
Sure.
And there was just, like, a couple, and there, I saw a couple of old people make a pharmacist assistant cry because there was nothing the woman could have done to have satisfied them. There was, like, literally nothing she could do.
See, to me, it's almost admirable, not making someone cry, but just how you can live life and not care at all what anyone around you thinks.
Well, you had that teacher in... You had that teacher in high school.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, he came in, and he was our substitute one time, and we have this boy who's, you know, a little overweight, and at one point, he went up to go sharpen his pencil, and he yells in front of the entire class, sit down, fatso! And the kid just goes, like, what?
Oh.
And he goes, excuse me? He goes, sit down, turkey! And tell nobody to get up. So the kid went and sat down. Oh, I've had enough of you, fatso. Oh. Oh, God. I'm even at like age 9.
God,
I've never felt worse for a kid. Like, when the teacher from the class called him fatso. Oh, and that guy, and he stayed around for a couple years.
Oh yeah. What are you going to do to him?
It's like the substitute teacher. Yeah,
he probably wasn't even making a paycheck. They're like, we can't get rid of Phil. He just shows up for free.
I heard that one time he started throwing like crumpled up tissue at kids.
Just like that he'd blown his nose in?
Like there was a kid apparently who was like dozing off in like the front row of the class. And a friend of mine told me that he took like a tissue off of his desk and like pelted the kid with it.
Well, just
wake him up.
Yelling at a kid then calling him fatso.
I've had enough of you, fatso. Jeez. I'll never forget it, man. That poor kid.
And now
he's a bodybuilder, and that's true. And that might have been the moment that did it.
Yeah, there's some self-esteem.
It's a Jenny Jones episode. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Guarantee you at some point he looked for that guy. And he was probably dead, and then he's got these unresolved issues now in his life because he was never able to show the guy who called him fatso in front of the class that he's now a bodybuilder.
Yeah, he was body-shamed, and now he's turned his life completely around. So, yes, obviously this guy that went through the lawns really had no concern for anyone's safety. He was just trying to get out of Dodge. 617-779-0985.
You ever seen an L person just give zero Fs?
Well, everyone has. So if there has to be a story, and not like swearing at a table at dinner, the public displays of complete old person shenanigans.
Give zero old person apps. That's right.
Wait a second. It says here, I called and they said they would have my prescription.
No, sir, you never called in. There's no record.
Well, what am I, boy? Come on. I never bought my prescription. What are you, an idiot? Sir. Yeah, and they're always with their, like, wives that are egging them on. Tell them, don't put up with that garbage.
I saw a couple one time sitting and eating, and they didn't say anything to each other for it might have been, like, 20 full minutes. And Mary and I were just laughing. Like, I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. You can sit and you can eat, not say a word. And at one point, she starts talking to ask him a question. She goes, you know what? And he goes, ah! And then she stopped talking. And it was another 5 minutes of silence.
Oh, that was my mom's parents. My mom's parents were exactly like that. Because my mom's, my grandmother, my mom wouldn't shut up. Mm-hmm. And so she was, Phil, da-da-da-da, Phil. And he would just be sitting there, completely ignoring her. And she knew he was ignoring her. And she would just walk around just talking. And then as soon as she got too close to him, he'd go, shut up! And then she would go without skipping a beat. Would just start, because they lived in a hovel.
Right.
And so in Kings Park, and they're just walking, and she would just walk around going, ah, bah, 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 bah. She was blind, and we were in a car one time. She was a sweet woman, but we were in a car one time, and she was blind, and she was trying to give directions. Because here's how.
I'm sorry, that's very funny.
She was. She, like, when we visited, if we would take her to IHOP, it was, like, the greatest thing in the world. Because my pop-up refused to take her anywhere. So, like, if we went to IHOP, she, like, would, like, start moving all around and getting all excited. Because they'd never do it. Shut up! And she didn't, it didn't hurt her feelings, it didn't do anything. She just got right back to talking. Just walking around talking. Oh, because that's the goal. If you could just blank out everything she says and just train yourself. I've sort of already trained myself.
Turn it into white noise?
Like, yeah, I don't listen to anything my wife says. Nothing. It's all news to me. All right. 617-779-0985. Because one of my favorite stories is Rich's fatso comment from the guy.
I mean, he lasted my entire elementary school career. He was there. And he just was on rotation when he came in. You did not piss that guy off. Or he would ridicule you in front of everybody.
Shit, fatso. All right.
If you weren't fat, you were turkey. You were either fatso or turkey.
Well, what turkey was like a big...
Shut up, turkey! All right, man. Gobble, gobble.
Well, turkey was probably a term of endearment. At least you got away with a fatso. Shut up, big nose. 617-779-0985.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. How far away are we from the What's Up, Guys bit?
I don't know. It depends. I'm about halfway through.
I desperately want this bit with What's Up, Guys.
Within the for a week now, correct? This has been at least a week. You've been looking forward to this.
Yes.
It takes a while.
Oh, no, there's no question. I got to imagine it takes some time. All right. There was a story of a older gentleman. Now, people questioned if it was me. I live in Newton, and I drive a Jaguar, and people were saying... Was this you, Fred? And it was not. It was an elderly gentleman.
We have a story right here.
In Newton, a driver smashed through three brick walls and hit a house. Boston 25 News reports.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Some old guy took his Jaguar and ran through a bunch of lawns in Newton, and then it got us to thinking about And he wasn't even that. 72, like, you should have it together. I mean, you should still be able to drive.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little strange.
Yeah, 72.
The way it was being reported is I thought he was, like, you know, in his 90s or something.
Yeah. All right, so...
But that does happen at an age. You just start giving zero Fs, and you completely just don't care what anyone thinks about you or what you're doing.
And you don't... like I told you, my friend Jay, his grandfather did dirty school. And he would just sit at 6 days a week, because he took one day off. He'd sit with a bottle of VO and a pack of Pall Malls and just sit there and listen to Sinatra. And then when the kids came over, they used to have audio tapes of him going, dirty school, dirty school. And he would teach them swear words. Oh, like sex stuff.
That's weird.
Phil, go. I've heard the tapes. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, so my girlfriend works as a dog groomer, and this guy comes in with his old dog, and this guy's probably like 80, and the dog's probably like 16. And the dog poops right in the lobby, and... my girlfriend, I'm standing in the lobby as well, and my girlfriend goes to get paper towels for this guy, and she turns around, and the guy's just cleaning up the mess with his hands.
Yeah, they've been together long enough.
Yeah, I guess so. It was, I mean, I'm standing there. I had to leave. I'm just dry heaving just outside in the store. It was terrible.
It's just fecal matter. I touch it with my hand. I'll never wash this. And then he goes to shake your hand.
No, I appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
No, then he goes and gets himself a burrito. Let's go to Mark. Mark, hello.
Oh, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So we're actually at a wake a couple of days ago, and one of the guys we work with, he's a substitute now, but he's long retired. We get into the procession line, and a couple of ladies come in behind us. They ask one of my friends about getting in front of us in the line, because she knew a few people up front. So I'll call him DP, because that's his initials. He turns around, and he goes, "What's up with this broad? Can you believe her? She just cut in a funeral line," and he calls her a few other things. Now, five of us are standing there, and we're, like, sinking into the line as deep as we can. These three ladies are turning around, totally eyeballing us. And here's DP just going to town, going off.
calling these women horrible names.
Funerals seem to funeral people off a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's some weird funeral stuff.
Let's go to Danny. Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, so I used to work at, I won't name the store, but it was a used furniture store in Central Square. Which was already crazy enough, because basically you just spend your day shooing the junkies away and telling them you don't have a bathroom. So the store is owned by Berkshire Hathaway, so Warren Buffett. So I got a call one day. The guy must have been 100. Really excited about an idea for a custom bookshelf he wanted Warren Buffett to build, and it was my responsibility to make sure that I had Warren Buffett call the guy back. Yeah, exactly. The guy was getting a little frustrated with me that I was trying to explain to him the logistics behind that. And he told me that if I was able to get Warren Buffett to call him back, he would put in a very good word for me. But if I didn't, when he did finally get a hold of him, he would make sure that my career in furniture would be over.
All right, so wait. He wanted to contact Warren Buffett about some, like, a bookcase that he built?
Yeah, so basically so the first floor of the company's main thing is they rent out furniture. So I'd actually see some of the athletes going in there from time to time. But on the top floor, they sold some of the furniture that wasn't up to the level of being able to be rented out anymore. Mm-hmm. So this guy must have had a need, and he told me he needed a white bookshelf that was 41 inches tall and no more than 9 inches deep. And okay. He was getting pissed that I wasn't able to provide him with a phone number or anything like that. So it was bizarre.
You should have just said, "Hey, you know what? Actually, what a coincidence! Warren Buffett is right here." And just put on the phone, "Hello, this is Warren Buffett," and just heard what he said after that.
I think that's what he thought. I think he just figured that he was like a phone call away, and I could just call up my boss and let him know about this great idea that some gentleman had called in with. Get myself a nice little pat on the back.
There you go. That's like when the girl called us in about McDonald's and the person asked for a nice fresh slice of tomato.
you say, hey, well, this is that's an amazing invention you've come up with. I shall give you $1 billion.
All right. Ralph, go ahead. Ralph.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, when I was a kid, my grandfather used to take me and my cousins out all the time and embarrass the crap out of us. And one weekend, we went to McDonald's, and my grandfather looks over, and this kid has this, like, rainbow mohawk, like, crazy mohawk. And I'm like, oh, great, my grandfather's going to embarrass the crap out of us. He walks up to the kid, and he goes, hey, did your mom F a parrot? God. Right in front of everybody. The kid just looked at up and down and he goes, well, did she? That's just one of about like 12 stories that came to mind when you guys started talking about old people.
Yeah. Jesus. Did your mom have a parrot?
Guys,
that's got to be so liberating.
Just to not care, yeah.
Because you know death's around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, my grandpa, I mean, it's a cliche, but he would just, like, fart in front of us, and he would just go, yep, just blowing my bugle. He would always call attention to it, too.
No, I mean, I told you there was a guy that used to cut my hair that was so old that he just did old man farts that he wouldn't even recognize.
He would just kind of slide out?
Yeah, he didn't know. They were all loosey-goosey. They'd go like,
it's like breathing. You don't realize you're doing it.
No, he didn't. He didn't know. I mean, he had no idea he farted. And it would happen often.
Uh-huh.
All right. Ed, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, boys.
Hey.
So my grandfather used to love drinking martinis, like 24/7. He'd make them. He'd drive around. He'd take me golfing with him. I'm sitting in his passenger seat. He'd be driving 6 miles an hour sipping martinis. So we'd go out to dinner, and he'd order a martini. And again, mind you, I'm like 15, 16. And if he didn't get it fast enough, it would piss him off so bad. So there were multiple times where he wasn't getting his drink, and we'd be like, just be patient, be patient. He'd be like, all right, I got to go to the bathroom. He'd get up. He's gone for like 10 minutes. I'm like, where the hell did he go? You go, look, he's trying to get behind the bar to make his own drink. Because he just can't. He's like, no, I do this all the time here. And he's like trying to fight the staff to get at the bottle of gin. And it's like, oh, Jesus. All right, come on, Bubba. We got to go sit back down. And every time it's like, got to go to the bathroom. It's, no, you're not. You're going to go make your own drink. Just did not care.
That's the thing, too. When you're that age, like, they're not going to call the police on anybody. All right, it's an old guy. What are we going to do?
No.
You know, you just get. So, I mean, you can kind of get away with more.
I was at my graduation. I had a friend who lived in the Keys, and his dad was like this old school, you know, dude that had moved there back when it was dangerous. And we were out to dinner, and his father, he ordered like Sprite or he ordered like a Coke. And his kid, Tim, was like, why did you order a Coke? And he goes, ta-da! And he opened his jacket. He had a fifth of Jack Daniels.
He did the ta-da thing.
Yeah, he goes ta-da, and it wasn't Jack Daniels. It was like grandma's tongue.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Finally, Dave, go ahead.
Hey, so I have a funny story about Disney World and my papa.
Disney World, okay.
So when me and my brothers were all graduating high school, every year we get a trip with our grandparents. I was the oldest of my brothers, or still am, obviously. And we went down to Disney World, and we're at Epcot. It's early in the morning. Now, my pup is an old veteran. He just recently passed. So we're in line. It's me, my friend, my two grandparents, and one of my other brothers. And pup is, all of a sudden he's got the belly bubbles. So the first thing he decides to do was he elbows me. He says, hey, grab the napkins out of your Nana's purse. I'm like, Papa, what's going on? He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, well, we're almost in line. We're almost done. Can't you just wait? He's like, no. So my Papa drops trowel and drops a giant deuce in the middle of the line with everybody there. So finally, security comes over with all the commotion. Everybody's cleared out. There's probably a 30-foot circle around us. And And the security's like, you know, you can't be doing this, sir. We got to escort you out of here. And, you know, his response, obviously, is I'm an effing war veteran. I'll do whatever the hell I want. So needless to say, Papa kind of ruined that day for us at Epcot Center. And we were lucky enough that, you know, we weren't banned from Disney World for life.
Jesus. God. You took a dump in line?
Oh. I saw a guy take a, I just been go pee on the side of a an outhouse one time. I mean, just imagine that.
Oh, man. I'm a veteran. I can crap where I want. All right, Billy Jaffe's going to join us.
We now maybe know he's got some stories.
The happiest place on earth.
Yeah, we now know that the St. Louis over there is going to be the opponent as things kick off on Memorial Day night. We'll have that for you. Here are the headlines. Toucher and
Rich. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, have done it. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final and face off against the Boston Bruins. A rematch, 49 years in the making, comes true in St. Louis tonight.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
It's Tuca time, it's Tuca time, it's Tuca time, it's Tuca! Tuca, Tuca, Tuca! Tuca time, it's Tuca time, it's Tuca time, it's Tuca! Tuca, 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 Tuca!
I'm gonna be so hungover at work tomorrow, I'm not gonna do anything.
Nine at five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe is going to be covering all of your Stanley Cup final needs over there on Nesson.
Yep.
Now, they don't have the games, but they have pre and post games. They're going to be doing, the TV term is hits all over the place.
Hits. Mm-hmm. Segments.
Segments.
Shows. Stanley Cup preview shows coming up.
Everything you need to know about what's going on with the Bruins.
And by the way, Bruce Cassidy on the show at 9 o'clock. Yep. He'll be on with us.
Tell him thank you for getting my butt up early.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is an annoyance to you, is to have to get up and come in.
Actually, here. Seeing you guys, it's been a couple of weeks. I genuinely like you guys. I don't sometimes know why, but I really do.
I'm being crap you guys give me.
Do you like a 7:30 much, or is it 9 o'clock?
Well, he was originally scheduled for 9. But
I know why.
Someone a little more important is on.
I understand why. I'm just trying to gauge how happy he truly is to be here.
Billy's annoyed to be here.
It sounds like it.
But you realize that we get here much earlier than this.
I agree. I absolutely know that.
And you had the day off yesterday.
Oh,
so it's not
that's
like,
right. I had the day off. But you have the day off on Monday, and I don't. I'm not going to give you crap.
I get Memorial Day off? Whoa, what a magic land this
is. I don't.
Well, neither does Gresham. No, Gresham. Neither does Zoe Bertrand or Felder and Mass. All right. So,
good to be back after a week away, after you pissing off everybody in Carolina.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for St. Louis?
Nothing. Hang up on somebody.
No, nothing. St. Louis is a fine town.
It is.
It's boring downtown.
Yeah, it is.
But it's
a good sports town, though. It is a good sports town.
They love the Blues and they worship the Cardinals.
Yes, they do. They're the Blues and their alumni are huge down there. And it isn't a huge market, but it is huge there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just showed. I mean, no one that played for the Cardinals leaves.
Right. And same thing for the Blues. Yeah. Same exact thing. They've got a wonderful alumni association, and that's a lot of times how you market or gauge what the area was like when guys played there.
All right, so Backes, well, let's just jump on that then.
All right.
Backes comes back. He's obviously revered in St. Louis. Is this like a Bork situation? If when he goes back to St. Louis, is this rounds of applause?
I think so. I do. He had a lot of good there. He had a real lot of good there. He left it on the ice for them. And
he's captain for what, 5 years for them?
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Was with them for how long? 10?
10 years. Yeah. He was drafted by them.
Yeah. He loves St. Louis. He's always made that known. Has a huge place in his heart, as it should.
He bought a house in Newton on a main road.
Yeah.
Man's a multimillionaire.
He lives in a nice area.
Yeah, but it's on a main road.
I don't know his taste in real estate. I live on a main road.
Yeah, but you're you.
See, I missed coming.
He's got you there. You are indeed.
But you can walk into town. He's too far to walk into a town.
That's not true. He has a little town there.
Well, and if you want to invest it, like walking a mile, and I'm not.
No, you're wrong. He's got a little town right there. Let's get off that. Doesn't matter. But my point
Newton
is,
Center?
No, you're missing where he
lives. No, I know exactly where he lives because he gets into the Little League parade that goes right past his house.
Okay.
He lives right by that elementary school.
No.
Billy, I know he does.
Anyways. Yeah. My point is...
But is this boring you, Rich?
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, Backus will have... this is a perfect series for him. Think about it. This is just perfect. He's going to bust his ass to win for the Bruins. He's so excited. I talked to him after the game the other night. And did a lot of other people, because you couldn't take the smile off his face. He just can't, he's relishing the moment at this point in his career, as he should.
So I know that the big thing that the Blues like to hang their hat on is they've got a pretty good blue line. What's his name? Bomeister and...
Petrangelo.
Yeah,
I think their best defenseman is Colton Parayko, though.
Okay, yeah. So is he on Bomeister's line? Those two together, right?
You have Petrangelo. Here are your top four: Petrangelo, Bomeister, Parayko. Those are your top your top three. Then you've got Gunnarsson and Bertuzzo. I think guys that are okay. They're big,
but I know that was kind of the thing that they were known for. They were tough defensively, and I think that they did a pretty good job, I guess, shutting down the first line of the Sharks. However, you've got the Bruins team where. I thought that was Carolina's thing, too. They were supposed to have one hell of a, and they plowed through Carolina's.
But they didn't have a goaltender. They don't have the goaltending that St. Louis
has. And St. Louis has more talent than Carolina.
All right, let's start with the back end, though. Let's start, because that is their strength. I like Petrangelo. I do. I like him. I really like Colton Parayko. Parayko was outstanding in this past series against San Jose. And he's a 6'5", 200-and-something pound. He's a big man.
Yeah.
They're all big on their back end. They're not like the Bruins that have morphed into a really fast, speed-dominated, exit-the-zone-that-way type of D. Here's an interesting thing. They're all big. It's not that they're not fast. It's not they're slow. They're just not fast. But what they do from their back end is pinch aggressively an awful lot. You will see those big bodies coming down the wall regularly in the offensive zone. Freight trains coming down there to keep pucks alive. I do think the Bruins, if they activate... completely, look, if they play with the speed that we've seen them have, I like it still. I like it against this team. I picked the Bruins to win the cup before the playoffs began. Mm-hmm. I had the opponent wrong. I have it on a graph, on a bracket.
Well done, dumbass.
Thank you. I think the Bruins and their depth, and now we're seeing it come through. I think with their speed, if they get speed going, I think they're good against this team.
Let me ask you this. Is this a historically easy run to a Stanley Cup final, because of where the teams were seeded that the Bruins played?
Wait, everybody's bitching that the Bruins had to play Toronto, which was the number three seed in the conference, or four seed, in the first round. I don't understand.
No, they technically were the sixth seed, right?
Okay. Points-wise. But everybody said... Oh my God! They're one of the best teams around.
So take Toronto out of it.
All right, then
you can't take it out of it.
Back to back wild cards after that, right?
Okay, so they beat Columbus.
Yeah.
Who beat the best team?
Jeffy, it's a question. You're getting defensive.
I'm not. What the hell am I getting defensive? I don't think this is easy at all. I think it went from an incredibly hard series against Toronto that was uncomfortable for the Bruins in many ways. And many of the players talked about the speed of Toronto, the freneticism, I don't know if that's a word, but the frenetic style, thank you, of Toronto actually made it hard at times because they kind of almost felt like they were chasing the play. And because of how fast they are. But yet Toronto doesn't have the structure, the defense yet, and the Bruins, because of their experience, won that series when it's all said and done. third line, Charlie Coyle was in his line were outstanding, and an experienced one out. The second round, a tough, tough series. Now, you're saying, well, okay, you're playing a wild card, but I look at that, Wallach, as the wild card beat the best team and made them look silly. And could they do – they weren't able to do that to the Bees. They weren't able to make them look silly. So I think that – I don't. Now, the third round, you know what? Once they figured them out,
yeah,
it wasn't that hard. Well, when I say that, I mean that, you know.
When you take the teams that they've played,
yep.
Where would you put St. Louis in terms of difficulty of matchup?
I'd put him in the physical realm of Columbus, but right. Deeper than Columbus. I'd probably say they're the best team. They're going to the best team they're going to face.
Okay.
I mean, again, Toronto is really, really good, but really, I mean, scary offensive. We know that. We don't need to rehash that. But St. Louis has got a lot more structure. Now, are they as high-end offensive as Toronto? No. But they've got some guys going right now offense. They got great depth up front, too. This is going to be an interesting fourth line versus – I don't think they'll play against each other. They may. But the Oscar Sundquist is the guy who centers their fourth line really good. This to me, I don't see how this team isn't the best team that they've faced so far.
Okay, goaltending. Bennington. So they were terrible, yeah. Right?
January 3rd, they were the worst team in the National Hockey League.
Okay, and so they were terrible, and then they put in the – what's the history of Bennington, if you can
– Real quick, Jordan Bennington, 25 years old, played last year for Providence in the American Hockey League as a loan. He was on loan from St. Louis. It wasn't a – Bruins had him, and they let him go. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, people say, oh, they should have kept him. They didn't have a choice. They had to get him. Yeah. He was a third – or a, I think it was a third-round draft pick – about 6 years ago, had good numbers in the Canadian in the OHL. He's just a guy that took some time. He bounced to a few places, Chicago in the American League, Providence, etc. He's got real strong mind game. I mean, he's very, very matter of fact. He doesn't seem evidently people that know him say that his dad's the same way too. It's just matter of fact. Mm-hmm. This is it. Don't give me this crap. Meaning, you know, I'm here to win and focused, and he's got a nice style to him. Got some decent. He's, you know, I mean, like a lot of these new age goalies, Fred. It's, you know, get him moving, shoot upstairs. I mean, that's what it comes to be. But he's no question about it. You talk to St. Louis people, and you hear the players talk. He is the biggest reason.
Oh, sure.
And then Craig Berube, the head coach, the other big reason why this team turned it around from January 3 on.
Okay, we'll be back with Billy Jaffe, 617-779-0985.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. So a big debate. We were having a debate, obviously. Did you want this St. Louis series to go 7?
No.
And have them beat each other up?
No.
Or did you want the time off?
I'd rather right now, you know who you're playing, first of all. And second of all, now they've got 6 days off too. And so I'm all good with that. I'm all fine with it. I can't wait for this thing to begin. I am excited. I am. I always love playoff hockey. Obviously, it's what I do. But this is just bringing it to the 10th, nth degree here. And you know, it's for me, St. Louis is a wonderful challenge, and I'd rather have them have them sit around for a bit right now as well.
Bottom line, though, Billy, the Bruins are favored in this, I would assume. They should win, but Bennington is the equalizer in the wild card, correct?
I think he's the wild card. I can't tell he's the equalizer. I mean, he's been really good. He's been really good.
Led the league in goals against, right? So, I mean, he's a great goaltender.
In his short time, he's been great. Tuukka's been hands down the best goalie in the playoffs. Bennington's been very good. His numbers aren't as good as nobody's numbers are near what Tuukka's have been. But Bennington wins. You know, a buddy of mine over at NHL Network, you know, nicknamed him Winnington. And that's just because that's what he's been doing since he's been there for he was at, 30 regular season games, 28, 30, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now in the playoffs, he's tied a rookie record for 12 wins in a playoff season.
Will it affect him more with the days off? Because people have been concerned about Tuukka getting back into that.
That's the problem with all this time off, is that you start getting into your own head. And, you know, I was talking to one of the who I don't even remember. It was one of the players or coaches of the Bees, and they're like, you know, we just got to be careful not to make too much out of this. Meaning, we know that we're off. We understand that we, you know, look. I think there's a few players that really needed it, and I'm concerned about the Bees taking some time to get going. Of course I am, but who, you know, who is it? But they needed some time off, and let's hope that it's going to benefit a few of these guys. And you know, the whole Tuca goaltender thing, Fred. Sure, you can't replicate live. You know, no, tomorrow night they're gonna.
But my question is it's got to be harder on a rookie, right?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, who hasn't been through it? It's a fair question or point. But this dude Binnington is like
a robot.
Yeah, he's kind of like a cross between the dude and a robot. You know what I mean? He's just kind of like, do I look nervous? And then he just kind of smiles and then he moves on. But let's see him in this situation. The Blues have one player on their roster that's played in a Stanley Cup, and that's David Perron, who played last year for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Does that matter? I mean, the Bruins are loaded with experience at this point in the season.
I don't think it hurts, put it that way. Yeah, does it matter? I think it does. Look, I think experience ended up winning out in that Toronto series, like I said before, where it matters there, and I think it helps here. I think that there's a factor of having been through it. I think there's a factor that you've used to your benefit, that you got guys like Bergeron and Chara who understand not only what it takes, but they also appreciate that. It sounds so cliche, but they appreciate that moment. You know, Chara knows where he's at in his career at 42. He appreciates it. Bergeron, don't be. I think, you know, right now Tuukka Rask would be my Conn Smythe. Okay, he'd be my guy. There's, you know, Binnington would be in consideration for St. Louis. Jaden Schwartz has been great for them too. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I just have this thing. I think Bergeron could end up stepping up here and getting and leading the way.
How long is the window for this team as it stands, the Bruins? Like, how important is this cup in terms of? I think when's the next chance? How long do they have?
I think if you look at the history of the league in general, that it's so. And especially now after we got past, you know, Pittsburgh and when they're quasi-dynasty. I mean, Chicago had to win it every other year.
Right.
I don't know, do the Bruins have that in them? I don't know.
In terms of age, contract situation.
Exactly, age, especially age. I mean, you're talking, and let's look at it this year, too. I mean, yes, Bergeron was hurt a bit, but he still was having just a phenomenal year, right? Phenomenal before the injury. And he still ended up having an amazing year as it is. The guy's just such a beast. How about the year Krejci's had? And he's not, you know, you're talking early to mid-30s in there, too.
Right.
And then Chara, the obvious guy. So, I mean, this group, they have to look at it that this is our chance right now. Because they don't know what's going to happen. They haven't been back in the finals since 13. Right. It's funny. They've been now in three finals since 11. But we're so, I think, jaded in this town that almost doesn't seem successful given that they've only won one. I mean, if they win two out of the three, that's phenomenal. I have so many people that are contacting me that are you know, not giving crap. They're joking about the success of Boston. You know, it's just people don't, you know. We don't know misery here. We just don't know reality here. It's just amazing what's going on with the sports team.
Real quick about Tuukka Rask, who he's obviously a Conn Smythe favorite. He's won a Vezina. This will be his third Stanley Cup final he's been to, yep, to as a starter. What do you think about, and I had an argument with a buddy of mine a couple of days ago, what do you think about his Hall of Fame credentials? If he wins a cup, he's closing in on 300 career victories. He's only 31. He's probably going to land in the top 20 all-time in goaltender wins.
Making it as a goalie is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard. There's some other goalies. I mean, Cujo comes to mind.
Right.
Now, you know, Osgood, Cujo.
Yeah.
I think making it as a goalie is really tough in that, like that. I think Jersey retired.
Sure.
Here, Bruins kind of Hall of Fame, you know, I mean, yeah. No question. I don't know about, I think that would be really hard. The goaltender qualifications seem to be almost, not mind-boggling, but question, you know, really super hard attainable to get in. I think that would be, but look, you're talking, again, you're doing the hypothetical. Let's, Let's see how the 5 years after play out.
I'm just saying he's got enough time to make his numbers.
The numbers that will be retired are Bergeron, Marchand,
Chara.
And if you think of how little...
I think Rask, too.
Okay, so Rask. Yeah, maybe.
I think.
Okay, fine. I'll give it to you. Yeah. But how many numbers are retired now? There's like none.
It's like nine?
Nine.
Eight? Something like that?
Yeah, so if you add four from this generation of players...
Yeah, that's unprecedented,
yeah,
actually.
That's pretty impressive.
It's a great team. I think they're in a great spot. I love... I,